Harrison had survived a complicated surgery, but his regime of pain medication was not working. He screamed almost nonstop. When he went into one of his spasms, he would bite his arms and hands. It was almost a constant effort to keep him from hurting himself. For weeks, it felt that I was always on the phone with Harrison's doctors, constantly juggling medications, adding here, subtracting there, to try and find the balance that would stop the spasms and his screaming. One day blurred into the next. Despite his feeding tube, which pumped nutrition into him 24 hours a day, Harrison had a hard time maintaining weight. I was supposed to try to wean him off the feeding pump and feed him directly because I could get more food into him that way. But when I tried that, he'd get sick and throw up. We made regular trips to St. George for IV therapy and frequent trips to Phoenix to see his oncologist. Kathleen volunteered to drive me to Phoenix, which was an enormous relief because it was 8 hours away. I was terribly concerned when I had to leave my other children at home to take Harrison to the doctors. This was the first time in my married life when I hadn't also had a full-time job. So I was home more, but consumed by the demands of Harrison's care. I could not get pregnant again. A high-risk pregnancy could cost Harrison his life if I became too sick to care for him around the clock. I knew I needed to get a birth control shot, but it became impossible because Harrison continued to go downhill. I was too overwhelmed with his care to do anything else. Time after time, the ambulance sped us to the hospital in St. George with sirens screaming. The doctors and nurses there fought like hell to keep Harrison alive. Their determination and valor made me realize how much more compassion there was for me in the outside world than there was within my own home. Harrison's doctor, Dr. Smith, decided that something more had to be done for him. She felt his spasms might be a long-term condition, and that he needed to have a G-button surgically implanted in his stomach, as well as a procedure called fundoplication, which prevents vomiting. I began making arrangements for Harrison's surgery in the spring of 2001. He was almost two and had been having spasms for nearly a year. When I started vomiting that April, I thought it might be the flu, but I didn't have any other symptoms, and after a few days I bought a pregnancy kit. I knew what the result would be. I was pregnant for the 8th time. If this became another life-threatening pregnancy, it could kill Harrison. No one in Merrill's family would help with Harrison's care. We could all die, me, my unborn baby, and my sick son. Merrill's daughter Audrey had moved back to our FLDS community a year before. Dear sweet Audrey, who had taken me on those long bike rides out to the reservoir when I first married Merrill and tried to teach me about the family's dynamics, now became a real ally. Audrey had worked in the ER at University Hospital in Salt Lake City. She was well-trained in critical care and knew that Harrison's condition was a medical problem, not a punishment for my sins. Harrison had been getting his IV therapy through home health visits. It was always a challenge because of his spasms. I asked Audrey if she might be able to do this. His screaming was bad enough, without the additional trauma of being stuck like a pincushion when he needed his IVs.